Good evening, everyone. Appreciate the presence of each and every one of you this evening. I'd like to once again say I appreciate this opportunity. I want to thank the elders for this opportunity to give me to stand before you this evening. And tonight, what I want to talk about is the Christian's responsibility in the local congregation. There's certain Christians that believe that they don't have any responsibilities, but an attendance service is one of these that we'll talk about tonight. But we must understand that we have responsibilities in the local congregation, not only one to another, but to the elders and to God in Christ. Now, scripture reference was 1 Timothy 3:14-15. Paul is writing to Timothy, said, if I delay, I want you to know how you ought to behave in the household, the family, the body of Christ. So we're just going to talk about a few things. First thing we want to talk about is a Christian's main priority in life is to serve God. They should not put first the things that the world puts first. Now, the world puts first wealth, seeking to be wealthy, pursuing political power, or celebrity status. That should not be our chief aim as Christians in this life. A Christian's true mission in life is to serve God and to gain heaven when this life is over. That's our mission, to live a life worthy and acceptable to God. And then if we do that to his satisfaction, then we can enter into heaven. The Christian has obligations and responsibilities in the home, on the job, and as a member of the local congregation. So God knows we have responsibilities besides here in the local body. We got responsibilities on our job. We got responsibilities at home. God knows that. And so for a little while, let's take a closer look at some of these responsibilities. This is not an exhaustive list by any means. First thing is growing spiritually. The Christian needs to feed upon the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:1-2. 1 Peter 2:1-2. I mean, that should be our first and utmost. When we become Christians, we should seek to grow, but we don't stop growing. We're always continuing to seek to grow. Always. 1 Peter 2:1-2. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. He says, long for the pure spiritual milk. Have a hungering for it, have a desire for it. We ought to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And where we get that righteousness is in God's words if we want to grow and become stronger. Because Satan seeks out those who are not growing, seeks out those who don't desire to grow. They get to a point and then they stay there, and then Satan sees that. And he can use that to cause dissensions and upset the local congregation. The Christians need to exercise godliness. 1 Timothy 4:7-8. 1 Timothy 4:7-8. As newborn children, we feed those children and then we get them to move about so that they can get better, get bigger, get healthier. And as Christians, we need to do the same, feeding on the Word of God and then exercising godliness. 1 Timothy 4:7-8. It says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of a value in every way. And it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. If we exercise godliness, the world sees that. They see us coming to services. They see us doing things of a godly nature. And in some cases, we might be able to influence them just by what we do. So we need to exercise godliness, not just influence people, but because it's acceptable to God. And then we can grow by exercising, by saying, for example, if somebody says something bad to you or says cuss you or what like that, and you don't cuss them back, you know, they say a cuss word or cuss, you say, have a nice day or God bless you. That's exercising godliness. And so we put that into practice, and then those things, those people hurl things in or say something to us, it doesn't really throw us off because we've done it before. We've been through it before. Spiritual growth requires
labor. Your cars work. It's not easy. You can't back up into spiritual growing. It takes work. John 6:27. See, a lot of people, they don't want to put in the effort to grow. That means you got to study. Amen. That means you got to get by yourself and study in a little quiet spot in your home and study. Amen. John 6:27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. We work so we can eat, have a nice home, have nice vehicles. Do we ever think that working about growing spiritually, becoming stronger in the Word, becoming stronger in this Christian walk? Do we ever think about that? Or are we satisfied with where we are? Satisfied with what we're doing? Or do we want to reach out and do more, reach more people, have a better understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do we ever want to do that? Well, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some labor. It's going to take some effort on our part. Now, God's going to stand with us. He's going to be with us. But it's something we have to do. We have to work at it. It takes diligence. You know, we can see where we are, and we always know that we can do better. We always know we can do better. Each and every one of us, we all can do better. And so we take self-inventory and say, well, I need to do this, or I need to stay away from that, or I need to sacrifice that in order to grow. Because some things we got to cut off if we want to grow. Some television programs we got to cut off if we want to grow. Amen. So we can have that time for study. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 and 10. 2 Peter 1. Verses 5 and 10. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith and virtue with knowledge. And then verse 10 says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. And he's talking about adding to these things. As we get to one level or one step, we reach out to the next one. And we continue to go until we continue to grow. But we never reach a point where we say, well, I've reached that point. Remember, Paul said, I'm always pressing toward the mark. He was always trying to get there. He said, I haven't got there, but I'm pressing toward the mark. And that should be our attitude. It takes watch. You know, we need to walk circumspectly to grow. Watch where we're going and watch how we're going. Are we content with just coming and sitting on a comfortable pew, you know, three times or twice a week? Are we satisfied when go out to knock doors and we say, well, I can't do that? Are we satisfied with that? Or should we reach out to do more? So growing spiritually is one responsibility that a Christian and local congregation has. It's your responsibility to grow. Now, the elder's job is to feed us. And if they're feeding and you're not eating, whose fault is that? Spiritual growth is a choice. It's each and every one of our choices. If we choose to grow, it's great. If we don't, we have to deal with the consequences. We have to maintain its purity in a local congregation. That's a Christian's responsibility. But you know where it begins? Purity begins with a self-examination. It's not looking over and saying, well, that brother over there needs to straighten up, or that sister over there needs to do what she knows. No. It begins right here. That's where a self-examination. 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1. So if we're looking at ourselves and examining ourselves, and it starts with us, then we can maintain, if we maintain a purity with us, and each and every one of us do that, then the church is going to maintain purity if we all doing self-examination. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. And the promise he's talking about is up above. He said that God is going to call us sons and daughters. He's going to be our Father, and we can call him Father, along with other promises. And since we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from these things that's going to hinder our spiritual growth. Let us cleanse from our lives these things that's going to not make us acceptable to God. So maintaining our purity begins with us, begins with each individual doing a self-examination of where they are and the things that they're doing. Purity means a separation from the world. It means a separation from the world. We can't be Christians and still associate with the world now. We have to go to work and we have to go to school and we have to deal with folks. That's not association. Association is hanging out with these people outside of job, outside of school, knowing that they're not trying to go in the same place that you're going. They're not headed in the same direction. You want to hang out with them. Sooner or later, you're going to be doing the same things they do. If they're smoking cigarettes, you're going to end up smoking cigarettes. If they're drinking alcohol, you're going to end up drinking alcohol. That's just the way it is. 1 Corinthians 15:33. So a lot of us believe, well, I can handle that. I can handle that. They're doing it, I can handle it. I'm not just going to, you know, do that. But it says here in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Bad company ruins good morals. You know, we're in this flesh and we're tempted, so we can't, you know, try to play with Satan and say, I can handle that. You tempt me, but I'm going to handle that. No. We're susceptible to his temptations, and if we're around that stuff or put ourselves in that situation, we're going to sin. We're going to sin. The hope of heaven causes one to purify themselves, and we had that same passage in the lesson this morning, 1 John 3:3. We have this hope of heaven. All Christians have the hope of heaven, and that hope should cause us to purify ourselves. You know, a purification, you know, when they melt down that gold and try to get the impurities out of it so it becomes pure. And that's what we're trying to do, get the impurities out of our lives so that we're pure before God. Not perfect, but pure in heart and in mind. Sincere towards God. Get those things away from us that's going to hinder our growth. The next thing is to promote its unity. It's our responsibility, each and every member of the local congregation, to promote its unity. You know, and we talk about this. We're studying the Sermon on the Mount on Friday nights, and we're talking about if one has a problem with, if one brother has a problem with another brother, let's hurry up and get that thing straightened out. Let's hurry up and get that solved. Because if that thing begins to fester, then that can cause some disunity and that can cause some hard feelings. So, because a lot of things are said and a lot of things are done, and people might misconstrue, they might misunderstand them. And that is not really what they meant. That's not really what they meant to say. So you can call somebody and tell them, say, hey, you kind of offended me, that, you know, and just pull them to the side and talk to them so that if anything is going on they might have misunderstood, they can get solved real quick. So it doesn't fester, and then there's a problem with people not wanting to be in the same building, not wanting to be in the same congregation because that thing wasn't solved right away. Keeping the unity of the Spirit, Ephesians 4:1-3. And Paul in his letter to the church at Ephesus says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says, this vocation where we've been called to walk in a worthy manner with humility, looking at others more better than ourselves, with gentleness, being kind toward one another, with patience, having long suffering. See, we need to have patience and forbear with one another. Because we're in the same family, right? We're in the same family. We all have the same goal of heaven. So sometimes we have to deal with one another and we have to forbear and forgive one another with patience and keeping the unity of the Spirit. Let's not try to bring in our own, I think, souls or our own opinions. Let's continue with what the Spirit has revealed to us and continue to have the same mind and the same judgment. And so that's the elders. They look out for that to see if there's something trying to creep in to mess up that unity. And so they had to put a stop to it right then. But it's our responsibility that if there's anything going on with any one of us toward another, we need to solve that right away. Let's not let that fester. Let's keep that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we have to promote the unity of the local congregation. We need to edify one another. Romans 14:17-19. And I'll tell you, you know, when I first got here, and then I continually see it, everybody tries to build up one another, try to keep up one another so that we all trying to get to the same place. We're all trying to build up one another's faith. Romans 14:17-19. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by him. So let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Let's pursue that. If something's happened and I have to take the short end, I don't mind it, because I'm trying to build you up. All right, the same way with me, try to build me up. Let's build each other up in the faith. Amen. You know, let's look on one another more highly than ourselves. Let's continue to build up our faith one another. When we come here to the building and to the services, we show our faith one another because we believe who God is. We believe in Jesus Christ. Down on the cross, we believe he's coming back. That's why we're here tonight, right? We believe he's coming back, so we're here trying to build ourselves up, trying to build one another up. So a responsibility of a Christian local congregation is to edify one another. And if you're not here, you can't edify one another. So you have to be here in order to edify one another. We have to be here. Have all things in common, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Paul says, I write to you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Let's not have divisions. We can't have divisions because what we're doing is we're pursuing the Lord's work. We're doing the Lord's work. And if there's division, that's going to hinder the work. That's going to hinder us edifying one another. So what we need to do is continue to have all things in common. Have that bond where we love one another sincerely and we look out for one another. Sincerely. And then love one another. Truly love one another. It's something I know I got to work on as far as reaching out. And so we have to love one another. John 13:34. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Jesus said, love one another just as I have loved you. And we can look and study the scripture and see just how Jesus loved us. He died on a cross for our sins. He didn't have to. He chose to, because that was the only way that he could save us. That was the only way that we could be with him in heaven. So that's how much he loved us. And we are to love one another. One place in the scripture says with unfeigned love, with genuine love, not a pretentious love, but a genuine love. Really love one another, really look out for one another. And that's a responsibility of a Christian in the local congregation. We're to love one another. So if we love one another, then surely we can have all things in common and have that special bond that God desires us to have. Obey its elders. That's a responsibility. Now, we all come from different backgrounds. We all have different ideas and different things on the way to do things, but we have four elders, and they oversee the flock, and what they say is what we should do. Now, it's according to God's word, what they say is what we should do. Now, if they say something contrary to the scriptures, then we can say, wait, where is that at in the scriptures? But if they're overseeing the flock according to scriptures, let's do what they say. Yeah. Hebrews 13:17. The Hebrew writer says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Let them do it with joy, but don't make it a hardship, because it's to your advantage that they do it from a joyous standpoint. You know, and a lot of people will say, well, and I hear this and I read this sometimes when I'm reading stuff online, and people will say, why do we have to go to Sunday evening services? You know, some churches don't go. You know, some churches don't. Well, this congregation, who was overseen by four elders, have decided that we need to have a Sunday evening service. And it's particularly to give those who weren't able to be with us in the morning for whether a job or whether they wasn't feeling well, an opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. And then if we come back, we support them, we say, I support you in there and I want to be with you. I'm supporting you. So the elders have said, let's do that. And people say, well, I don't have to go back to evening services. It's not in the scriptures. I already did my one first day of the week. Well, the elders have said, let's have a service. And it says right here, obey your leaders and submit to them. So I don't know what the number was. The number is 85, and I don't think it's 85 in here this evening. So obey your leaders. That's responsibility, you know. Some things they might say we might not agree with, but it says obey your leaders and submit to them. That's Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. You know, being in the military, and I wasn't there as long as, say, Brother Randy or Brother Melvin, just a few years, but leadership is very important. Leadership is very important, especially when you're going in a battle, which I never did, but just going and doing an exercise. And, you know, we have great leadership at this congregation. Some people come in, we have gospel meetings, they say, y'all don't know how blessed you are to have elders. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Good leadership is hard to get. Good leadership is hard to have. I want to say one more thing about the eldership. There's four men here. There's four men who've decided that they have changed their life and they want to go to heaven. And then they said, I want to take some more people with me. They want to go to heaven, but then they say, I want to take some more people with me. I want to be an overseer of a local congregation to try to get people into heaven too. And so, a Christian responsibility in a local congregation is to obey its elders and then to attend its services. Hebrews 10:24-25. We're all familiar with that passage. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's a responsibility. You know, if you're sick, if you're working, that's understood. We talked about this morning. God knows if you can make it or if you can't make it. And we know if we can make it or if we can't make it, right? So our responsibility is to attend all services, not just Sunday. And then we have a Bible study on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. That's our responsibility to be there too. The responsibility so help us to grow, help us to edify one another. That's our responsibility. We have a responsibility each to one another. I have a responsibility to everybody out there, and everybody have a responsibility to me. We all in this together. We all have responsibility one towards another. The church is no stronger than the collective strength of its members. The church is not stronger. It's no stronger than the collective strength of his members. So if there's some that are not growing, we're not as strong as we can be. If there's some that are figuring they're at a point where they don't have to grow anymore, we're not as strong as we can be. We're not going to reach as many people as we need to be. We're not going to be able to fend off the attacks of Satan as we need to. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. It says, I'll start at 14. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is head, unto Christ. Grow up in every way. You know, we're reaching out. We're trying to get to a point of spiritual maturity so we're not tossed about by every doctrine that we hear. You know, there's some that's come here and then they went back to denominationalism. You've come and you've understood who God is. You understood about the body. You understood there's only one church, and then you left and went back to denominationalism. You know, tossed to and fro, not really sure if this is the right thing. Not really sure if there's only one body that Christ has set forth or Christ died for. So we must understand we have to continue to grow, and we're only stronger as all of us is strong. All of us are growing to be strong. That's as strong as we're going to be. Attending every service helps us to be prepared for Christ's return. What if you're, you know, you should have been here, but you wasn't, and Christ came back? I wouldn't want to be in that position. You know, you know you could be here, but you're like, I'm not feeling it today. Matthew 25:13. The parable of the virgins here in Matthew. Watch, therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour. If you're here, then you're taking care of business. You're watching. You're preparing yourself for when Christ comes back. We don't know when he's coming back. We don't know that hour that he's coming back. So if we're here doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're being diligent and watching for him. So if you're 10 services, that means that you're being prepared or getting prepared or continually to prepare yourself for his return. By studying, by edifying one another, by being obedient to the elders, and by growing spiritually. Those are some of the responsibilities of a Christian in a local congregation. And then we just all need to do a self-examination of ourselves and see where we stand. If we stand lacking, well, then we need to do something about it. We know that where every preacher that's ever stood up here and said, we all can do better. And we know we all can do better. Like I said, this is not an exhaustive list of responsibilities. It's just some things that stood out or stand out to me, the things that are obvious that we need to do. If we have placed our membership at this local congregation, these are some of the things that we absolutely have to pay attention to and do. So if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we want you to become one. We understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that he's coming back, and when he comes back, he's going to come back to judge the world in righteousness. So if you're not a Christian, then you're going to be condemned to a devil's hell. The hell was made for the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for mankind. It wasn't made for us. But if you're not following, and that's the thing, if you're not following Christ, then who do you think you're following? You're following the devil. You might not admit it. You might not be a devil worshiper. But if you're not doing things according to the will of God, then you're following Satan. And it's just that laid out in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you haven't been living right, then that means you haven't been growing and you become stagnant or you backslid. There's still an opportunity for you to get it right. Still an opportunity for you to grow and to be edified and to edify us. And so we plead with you, we beg with you, that if you're subject to the invitation, come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.